From Behind the Counter by Terry McMillan. My cousin who lives out in California told me a long time ago that right before an earthquake, there was a stillness in the air. He said to watch out because it could mean good news or bad news, but it would be something you can't prepare for. Well, I missed work yesterday because the bus broke down, and by the time I walked to Woolworths, it would almost been time for me to turn around and come on back home. So I got a ride to the closest gas station, and they let me use their phone, but my boss didn't care what the reason was I wasn't coming and docked me the $7 I would have made. It took me almost 2 hours to walk back home, and the whole time I didn't see one leaf move on any of the trees. Even when I turned the corner and walked up the hill, I didn't feel a breeze. I just hoped this wasn't a sign the baby was coming early. Me and my wife been struggling to get on our feet here in Greensboro after staying with kin folks a whole year. And now with a baby on the way, I need every dime I can get, which is why I haul trash to the dump on my off days. The bus ran fine today, and this morning was just like most mornings. I walked out front to clean off the counter. I tried not to watch the parade of mostly white people carrying bags full of everything I couldn't afford. When four young colored men in trench coats walked in through the glass doors, I nodded hello, thinking they must be looking for a job. But before I could guess again, each one stopped right below the giant sign that said, "Whites Only." And one by one, they sat down at the counter, and each one set what looked like a briefcase on the floor next to his legs, which was when I felt all the air in the diner evaporate. My heart hurt from beating so hard. I thought maybe they might be confused or lost, even though they didn't look it. They looked determined. I made myself breathe. "Y'all look like you can read," I whispered, glancing up at the sign and then into their eyes. Just then, Mary, a waitress nobody liked because she cursed like a sailor, walked down the counter tapping her pencil, which was when the tooth I needed to see a dentist about started beating like it had a heart, and it felt like I was about to have an asthma attack even though I don't have asthma. "Y'all must can't read, but them suits won't help," she said, looking down at the young men. "Y'all still colored." My forehead was sweating, because I started thinking about the time my cousin got run over by a white woman for smiling at her at a stop sign, and she waited for him to step off the curb and take a few steps, which was when she pressed on the gas. Hit him hard enough, we heard his ankle crack. When we told the police and gave them her license plate number, they didn't even bother to write it down. "Yes, we can read," said the one wearing glasses. He sounded smart. They all looked smart. I wanted to ask them where they worked, but they looked too young to have jobs where they would wear what I could see under those trench coats with suits. "We would like a cup of coffee, please." "You know y'all can't sit here." "We are already sitting here," the one at the end said. He sounded so proper. I wondered if he might be from New York. I was scared. Why'd they have to pick today to do this? I was waiting for my check, and this foolishness might make me lose my job and maybe not get paid. I got a baby just waiting to meet me. Our rent is 3 days late, and my wife had to stop cleaning houses when she couldn't stand the smell of bleach, and nobody can help us because everybody we know is poor. I heard the cooks talking about how much nerve the niggers had, but they just politely kept asking for a cup of coffee. The waitresses pretended they was deaf. Finally, one of the young men said, "Our money is just as good as anyone else's." A different waitress said, "No, it ain't." But the young men didn't get up. They reached down and pulled out thick books from their satchels and then set them on the counter, opened them right up like they was all studying the same thing. Where did they get this courage from? Was it from those books? I wondered what they were studying, and if there was a class they took on bravery, and if they knew other brave color people. One day, I wanted to know what courage felt like, too. I was trying to see what they was reading, but it was hard to read upside down. I saw numbers, strange numbers. I saw a black and white picture of the world, another one about science and history. I wanted to know whose history, but I couldn't ask. I mostly read the Bible. I prayed all day the police wouldn't walk through the glass doors and try to yank them off those swivel chairs, and when them young men resisted, which I could tell they would, that they wouldn't get dragged outside one by one, then shot and killed for every time they kept on asking for a cup of coffee and didn't get it. Even when those news people came and turned them bright lights and cameras on, and crowds in all shades came from inside and outside the store, jumping up and down to see what was going on, them young men did not move. They just kept asking for a cup of coffee. By now, the waitresses was just ignoring them like they weren't even there. I wanted to say something to the young men, but I was scared I would get fired. When I picked up the rubber tray full of dirty dishes and walked past them, I did push a fork so it would fall on the floor, and when I bent down to pick it up, I locked eyes with all four of them, and they could see I was proud. I didn't look at any of them again, because if something happened to them, I didn't want to remember their faces. I pretended I needed to go to the bathroom and walked through the store into the men's room. I went inside an empty stall, closed the toilet lid, and sat down. I wondered how all this was going to turn out. I knew it wasn't about coffee, but what would happen if they did get served a cup? Would that mean they could maybe order some eggs and bacon and toast and orange juice and sit there and eat while they read? Me, I never really wanted to sit next to white people to eat. I didn't trust them, but I also never liked that they was the ones who decided it, just like they was the ones who decided we would be slaves and when we should be free. I always wondered what made them think they was better than us just because they was, were, white. I decided that when I got home, I was going to tell my wife, we need to start telling each other how we really feel about how we living. We need to stop being scared of white people and stop acting like we ain't free. When the store was closing, the police ushered the men out the back door. As the door slammed shut, my boss put his plaid jacket on, headed out toward the front door and said, "See you tomorrow, and don't be late." I finished cleaning up the kitchen and went out front and started wiping the counter up and down with a damp rag. The icebox was humming, and then it just stopped. Silence can be loud, is what I was thinking, as I sat down on a stool like I owned the place. I swiveled a few times, staring at the stools where the four young men had sat all day, which was when I threw my damp rag on the floor and poured myself a cup of lukewarm coffee and took a long sip, looking at that empty counter and at the stools and up at the whites only sign, which was when I felt my body rise up and my arms reached up and I pulled it down.